Brothers and sisters, I am at the end of this time. I'm just going to talk a little bit about the report that came out from the Pennsylvania grand jury this week about the sex abuse cases, especially in that Pennsylvania area. Very, very sad reality, but I want to touch on that. But the way I want to do that is I want to talk about the power of the gospel today, the bread of life. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is who we are. And so let me do that, and then let me come back to that report here at the end of this homily. Brothers and sisters, I remember when I was at Jackson, I went to the hospital in Fairmont, and I went by the route of Interstate 90, and then I cut down on Highway 15 through Fairmont because the hospital was off of Highway 15. And as I got into Fairmont, there were these signs along the road, and I don't remember if it was Arby's or if it was Wendy's, one of the two, but it said that you could pick up a free sandwich that day from such and such to such and such a time. Well, lo and behold, I looked at the clock in my pickup and I realized, well, I fell within that time. So I thought, well, maybe. So as I drove down, everyone, I finally got to this Arby's or Wendy's, whichever one it was, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I really shouldn't have been surprised. Their lot was completely full. The drive-thru, everyone, was completely full. Believe it or not, Highway 15 is actually a state highway. There are actually people parked and stopped out on State Highway 15 for a free sandwich. And I realized this isn't going to happen today. I'm not going to wait that long. But isn't it amazing what we will do for something like that? Well, today, everyone, we talk about something far greater than a sandwich. Listen to what Jesus says. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And to make certain people get it, he goes on. For my life, for my flesh is true food and my blood true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Now, brothers and sisters, how many of us would ever say something like this? How many of you would go up today to someone and say, eat my body and drink my blood? How many of you would do it? Nobody would. Buddha never made that claim. Muhammad said, I have a revelation from God, but that's what he shared, everyone. Nobody has except for Jesus. And you know why he keeps coming back to it in the gospel of today? The reasoning is simple. You know, if you hear it once, you might think, did he really say that? And so to keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back, there was no doubt that crowd that day could say, this is what he means. Eat my body, drink my blood. And for us to really understand the power, everyone, of the Eucharist, there's a key word in the first reading and the second reading of today. First reading says this, wisdom has built her seven columns. Now, what are the seven columns? They're the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, understanding, right judgment, knowledge, courage, reverence, wonder, and awe. But there's only one of those that is mentioned in the first reading and the second reading, and it is this, it is understanding. The second reading says this, understand the will of God. And so what is understanding? It is this. The infused gift of the Holy Spirit given to us to the mind for grasping revealed truths easily and profoundly. And so I ask, do we understand what happens to that bread and wine? There are people who are other Christians. There are people who are not Christians who believe, everyone, that we are cannibals. You eat flesh, you drink blood. So can you talk to them? Do you know what to say? Understanding, revealed truths, easily and profoundly understood. Can we do that? You know something, everyone? I'm going to share a little article with you that I've shared before, but I think it gets to the heart of what happens to that bread and wine. If you understand it, great. Most Catholics today do not understand it. They continue to say the Eucharist is a sign and symbol. It is not the real presence of Jesus Christ. So here we go. Transubstantiation is the word of what we're talking about now, what happens to the bread and wine. Is a theological term that describes what happens to the bread and wine during the consecration as they become the body and blood of Jesus. Sounds pretty complicated, but it's really not. For starters, in philosophical and theological terms, all material things are made up of what we call substance and accidents. The substance of a thing is essentially what a thing is. For example, the substance of a guitar is simply a guitar. That's what it is. It's not a rocking chair. It's not a camera. Guitar's a guitar. I could take this chair right here, everyone, and I could say, what is this? Would you say it's a camera? Guitar. What is it? Chair. Okay, it's a substance. The accidents of a thing are its physical attribute, what it looks like, feels like, etc. Going with the guitar, again, its accidents are that it's brown, it's hard, the wood has a certain feel to it, etc. I could say the same in the chair. Okay? It has certain attributes that we need to make a chair. What takes place then during a transubstantial change is this. The accidents of the thing remain the same while the substance changes. Father Clausen says, I did a rather graphic demonstration of this for some teenagers by taking an old guitar and smashing it to bits. After I smashed the guitar apart, I took all the pieces and put them in a pile. After that violent episode, the accidents of the guitar remained the same. Pile of rubble was still brown, hard, and the pieces still had the same texture and feel of wood. I could do that with this chair. I could smash it apart. It's all there yet. Texture and feel of wood is there, everyone. The cloth is still there. However, the substance of the guitar had dramatically changed. It was no longer a guitar. It was a pile of junk. And this is what happens to the bread and wine during the consecration. Their accidents remain the same. Host still tastes and looks like bread. The wine still looks and tastes like wine. But what they are, their substance, has changed into the body and blood of Christ. Now this may sound good, okay? But many Catholics still don't believe it. And that is where faith comes in. If at every Mass, those physically turn into flesh and the wine physically turn into blood, how many of you would receive it? Here's a chunk of flesh. Here's some blood. I don't know. Okay? I think a lot of people, if that happened, would be too scared to receive communion. But if it happened, we would have absolutely no doubt at all, and thus we would have no need for faith. And that is not how God operates. Jesus challenges us to be people of faith. Our life on earth is about faith, and our eternal life is our reward for how we've lived that faith. Accidents and substance. That's what we talk about when it comes to receiving the Eucharist. You know, everyone, there was a story, everyone, about a family who decided to emigrate to the United States. And it was a very poor family, and they emigrated in the hopes of a better life. But before they went, their friends got together and threw them a farewell party, and they gave them practical gifts like bread and cheese, everyone, that they could eat on the way. Now, this was the first time they ever left the village, so when they left the village and they got on this big ship with all these people, they were overwhelmed. So the first thing they did is they went to their third-class cabin, everyone, and they stayed there locked up for the entire trip. Well, there was a mother, there was a father, there was a teenage boy, and four young girls. And on the last day, the teenage boy was getting claustrophobic, and so he said, Mom and Dad, do you mind if I just go tour the ship? And the parents said, yes, you can. We want you back at a certain time. He didn't come back. So what happened, everyone? Father went out looking for him, and he found him in the dining room. Found him in the dining room. He had a plate before him, everyone, filled with meat, potatoes, vegetables, and dessert. Father was aghast. He figured, you know, I can't pay for this. I'm going to spend the first months, years of my life in the United States in jail, in prison. And the son saw the father's expression, and he said, wait a minute, Dad. Wait a minute. This came with the price of the ticket. It's free. Well, we've been fasting. Everyone else is feasting. Brothers and sisters, that's what happened today. When you came into the door of this church, I wasn't standing there saying, $5 admission to come to the feast. It's free. But the food and drink is different. You know, everyone, you'll have lunch today, and after lunch, it'll get to be about 3 o'clock, and guess what some will start to do? They'll start to nibble. All right, they'll start to nibble. I've told a story about my dad. My dad used to eat lunch, and then he'd first after he was done, what are we having for dinner? Okay? Told you this before, I've never had anyone ask for seconds when it comes to communion. Never. Second thing, what happens to the food and drink that we have, everyone? It goes through us. The Eucharist is different. Jesus said it, eat my body, drink my blood, and I will remain in you, and you will remain in me. Does Jesus want to literally get under our skin? Yes, he does. But how do we do that? We got to receive him. And that's once a month isn't enough. Every other week isn't enough. This is an every week thing. Every week thing. We come, we receive him. He is the bread of life. Brothers and sisters, I want to tie this in a little bit now to Pennsylvania, but let me do it by this way. You know, if you think about a diamond, everyone, as receiving communion, and the gold band after we receive communion, we realize a diamond in and of itself is beautiful. But when you put it in a gold band, everyone, it becomes magnificent. The gift of communion, everyone, is meant to be magnificent. What we receive, people are to see. Now, what I'm about to share with you, everyone, I'm not going to be able to touch everything. I think every one of us in this church could get up here and we would share something and it would probably be different. But these are the things that I just want to share with you today. When I read the report, everyone, and of course there were many opinions on it, so many times I read people say this, I've had enough, I'm going to leave the church. I don't wish that anybody to leave the church, but deep down in my heart, I could say, I kind of understand. I'm not saying I want people to do it. That's not what I say. But I can say this, I kind of get it. I was angry and I was hurt. And this is what I thought about. How many people have been hurt? How many? Believe it or not, everyone, here's the question that I asked. Do people trust bishops? Do they trust priests? Do they trust me? You know something? I wouldn't blame you at all if you said, Father Schuster, I trust you 99.9%, but there's the 0.01% that I just don't know. I would understand that. I would get it. I get it. And here's the thing, everyone, the saddest reality that you probably never thought about. This stuff is all I know. I've been a priest for 23 years, and I have never had a year where I have never dealt with this. 23 years of my priesthood, it's always been there. Started out, everyone, and we continue to pray. Father Tom Adamson, that whole thing broke loose, everyone, when I was first ordained, even before I was ordained. Remember Boston? Remember the Dallas Charter? All of a sudden, pop, bang, we have Diocese of Winona litigation. And even in Fairmont, everyone, we have litigation. When I was in Fairmont as the pastor there, because of sexual abuse of minors, and now all of a sudden, this Pennsylvania report. 23 years. And I've never, ever had a year where it hasn't been present in my life. What's my hope? And by the time God calls me home, everyone, the truth is revealed and we can move on. But it's got to come. I don't blame you if you're hurt, angry. I was. Question I ask myself is this, when are we going to be honest? When are we going to be truthful so that we can move on? That's what I pray about. I had a woman stop me last night and say, Father, what are you praying about? I said, the truth. What do you want to pray about? And she told me what she wants to pray about. What do you want to pray about? Pray about it today. But realize this, everyone. This is where it all stems from. Right here. You, me, and the bread of life. People, believe in what you receive, and whatever you do, go forth and give people the bread of life. God's blessings to you, and let's pray for each other this day.